Welcome to The Secret Truth. Tonight, our second hour, we're covering current news, and we have quite a week to report. The Cassandra project was a project that was set up to go after Hezbollah. And what we're getting into is some very, very deep state dynamics here that are getting almost more to cover than any one person could do. There was an article written recently in Politico. The title was "The Secret Backstory of How Obama Let Hezbollah Off the Hook." And it was an ambitious U.S. task force targeting Hezbollah's billion-dollar criminal enterprise. It ran headlong into the White House's desire for a nuclear deal with Iran. And this is an article by Josh Meyer. We're putting a click off up on the site tonight. So come into thesecrettruth.com and you can click off and go in there and read that complete article. My gosh, it's so insightful. In fact, there's a couple of clips here that caused Jeff Sessions to call for an investigation into this matter. So listen carefully about these two clips. They're both reports about Jeff Sessions calling for a new investigation into this based upon that article. Listen carefully.
A very serious charge tonight against the Obama administration. A bombshell report alleging they deliberately sabotaged the government's own efforts to fight terrorist drug and money laundering operations. Correspondent Doug McElway digs into that report.
Today, the United States, together with our allies and partners, has reached a historic understanding with Iran.
At what cost was the nuclear deal with Iran reached? A Politico investigation alleges the Obama administration, in an effort to reach the agreement, drastically curtailed efforts to interdict cocaine shipments into the U.S. by Hezbollah, a terrorist organization closely allied with Iran. For years, it has been known that Hezbollah had been active in the Latin American drug trade. In 2016, a DEA official told a congressional panel that Operation Cassandra, a massive law enforcement effort to stop the Hezbollah drug trade, was inexplicably curtailed.
For some unknown reason, we seem to have missed out on one opportunity after another. We seem to have forgotten about the importance of disrupting the supply chain.
Politico reports, quote, when Project Cassandra leaders sought approval for some significant investigations, prosecutions, arrests, and financial sanctions, officials at the Justice and Treasury Departments delayed, hindered, or rejected their requests.
There clearly is a huge pattern here. I mean, we pull out of Iraq because the Iranians want us out of there. And President Obama has no political and moral commitment to an Iraqi end state that's in the United States' interest. From 2009 January to the entire 8 years of the Obama administration, hands off anything to do with the Iranians and their proxies.
Several former Obama administration officials did not respond to our request for comment. A spokesman for Mr. Obama told Politico the administration was hard on Hezbollah, quote, through tough sanctions and law enforcement actions.
The Trump administration has taken an entirely different tack in its Iran policy. That course change reflected in sober comments here on Friday from Secretary Mattis. He told reporters, quote, "Everywhere you find turmoil, you find Iran's hand in it." Shannon, back to you.
All right, Doug.
This article set off a firestorm, and so it's getting serious about Iran's meddling around in a lot of other countries' business. Okay, listen carefully next to the second clip that we have concerning this Hezbollah problem. So listen carefully now.
Breaking news right now from the Justice Department. The Attorney General is ordering a review into a story we've been covering all week about possible Obama administration interference in drug investigations involving the Hezbollah terror group. A Politico article asserts the interference was intended to smooth the way for President Obama's legacy Iran nuclear deal. Chief White House correspondent John Roberts has the breaking details on that story tonight and the day with President Trump. Good evening, John.
Good evening to you. Attorney General Jeff Sessions tells Fox News that he is looking into allegations the Obama administration derailed a DEA operation that was investigating the smuggling of cocaine into the United States by Hezbollah. Sessions has ordered a review of Project Cassandra, which was investigating and prosecuting Hezbollah personnel. As you mentioned, the allegations that the Obama administration interfered in Project Cassandra were first raised in a Politico magazine article. In a statement to Fox News talking about the opening of this review, the Attorney General said, quote, "While I am hopeful there were no barriers constructed by the last administration to allowing DEA agents to fully bring all appropriate cases under Project Cassandra, this is a significant issue for the protection of Americans." DOJ sources say that review could lead to the reopening of prosecutions of Hezbollah officials and could open another Inspector General's investigation of DOJ personnel. Fox News has also learned that President Trump is expected to approve the sale of very powerful anti-tank missiles to the Ukrainian government. This would mark a major escalation in U.S. support for Ukrainian forces as they battle Russian-aligned fighters in eastern Ukraine. That sale, by the way, would require congressional approval before the State Department goes ahead. President Trump left the White House this morning, bound for his Christmas vacation in Mar-a-Lago, Florida, with the wind in his sails, after signing his vaunted tax reform bill. President Trump gave a fist bump when he stepped off Air Force One in West Palm Beach today, the signature issue of his election campaign now codified into law.
All of this, everything in here, is really tremendous things for businesses, for people, for the middle class, for workers. And I consider this very much a bill for the middle class and a bill for jobs.
Democrats continue to slam the plan as terrible for the country.
Republicans took a victory lap because they successfully sold America's children's future by handing tax breaks to corporate America and the wealthiest.
But today, two more major corporations announcing tax reform-related benefits for workers. Sinclair and PNC joining Boeing, AT&T, Comcast, Wells Fargo, and Fifth Third Bank, handing out Christmas bonuses to some 55,000 employees. New England Patriots owner Bob Kraft telephoned the president yesterday to say he supports the bill, that it will drive economic growth, raise wages, and create jobs.
He's going to buy a big plant in the great state of North Carolina, and he's going to build a tremendous paper mill there, or paper products plant.
President Trump invoked the name of Ronald Reagan, saying his tax cut is bigger than Reagan's. Though measured as a percentage of GDP, it's not even close. And with the tax bill, President Trump claimed to have signed more legislation in his first year than even the historic frontrunner Harry Truman.
We have, I believe it's 88, which is number one in the history of our country. Second now is Harry Truman.
Tax reform behind him, the president will spend the week at Mar-a-Lago, looking ahead to his 2018 agenda, which includes rebuilding infrastructure, immigration reform, and welfare reform. President Trump wants to get bipartisan buy-in, so infrastructure will likely go first.
Infrastructure is by far the easiest. People want it, Republicans and Democrats. We're going to have tremendous Democrat support on infrastructure, as you know.
Immigration reform and welfare reform will be a much harder sell. And in a combative election year, Democrats are expected to give the president little or none of what he'll ask for. The 2018 elections were front and center the same day President Trump celebrated the passage of tax reform. The president huddling with Chief of Staff John Kelly, Kellyanne Conway, Communications Director Hope Hicks, Political Director Bill Stepien, former campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, and the Trump campaign Digital Director Brad Parscale. Sources tell Fox News the meeting grew heated when Lewandowski rang the alarm that the president was not being well served by the current political operation at the White House, run by Stepien, and that changes need to be made. A day earlier, former Chief of Staff Reince Priebus told the president the same thing. Lewandowski also told the president that the Republican National Committee needed to do better. A GOP operative tells Fox News there needs to be better coordination on communications, that when the White House is in a political knife fight, it needs air cover from the RNC. One GOP source went so far as to tell Fox News the RNC is a disaster, that the president needs to dump that place and start over.
It's beginning to appear that there are some gigantic scandals that are brewing. We have Uranium One. We have the Hillary's emails back on the front burner. I mean, we have the dossier problem. There's beginning to be one after the another of major problems, and this one has just cropped up, my gosh, in the last few days. I mean, this article, the secret backstory of how Obama let Hezbollah off the hook, is just a fabulous article, a well-written, fabulous article. And it can't be easily dismissed. That's why Jeff Sessions went ahead and called for that, an investigation, a look into this. We've got coming up next a clip of Jerome Corsi. And Jerome Corsi is reporting for InfoWars on not only the tax bill, but also there was a special executive order signed by President Trump that we must show special attention to. It's going after some international criminals. And listen carefully here. This is Jerome Corsi setting out what's going on because of that executive order.
Wisconsin, John in Wisconsin's up next. But I wanted to get Dr. Corsi just to pop in for a few minutes, InfoWars.com, D.C. Bureau Chief Head, QAnon, that's the folks on 4chan, links resignation of Google Schmidt to Trump's executive order. Dr. Corsi, of course, has a Harvard degree in finance and banking. He's an expert and a State Department advisor on anti-terrorism. So he knows how to scan through these documents and look at these connections. He brought out the whole Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac looting of Obama, and then Trump jumped on that and defunded it as recommended. So I'm just pointing out that, you know, of course, he doesn't just go read stuff on 4chan and just believe it, but there's a lot of really good stuff on there. And so he's breaking this down. And, of course, Schmidt's been the anti-free market guy. He's been the globalist. He's got a lot of the DARPA technology for himself the last 20 years or 19 years since Google got founded. And he's been very, very arrogant, just saying we're gods now. No one can stop us, and pushing the whole anti-human agenda. Apple, the screen sickness, all of it, the suicide factories. I mean, the whole thing from where the process begins to your children, the screen time, all of it is screen sickness, as I've coined it. And little dopamine receptors being flipped and manipulated, like Sean Parker of Facebook said. So suddenly, when Trump got in, all these execs are going, it's evil, it's bad. We admit it's bad. We're sorry. It was designed to basically make like your phone's a video game, but where we track and control you and add stimuli to politically manipulate you. And we pump out massive amounts of soy products in these areas to create mental illness in men and women. I mean, they know what they're doing, and that's why they attack us. So just encapsulating this, Dr. Corsi, thanks for popping on short notice. What's going on in the tea leaves here with this Schmidt resignation? Because, you know, you and I and others have been hammering. We need antitrust. Trump's put in somebody at the Securities Exchange Commission that is big on antitrust with Google, Facebook, Twitter. And so, I mean, is this a sign of their capitulation? Because I've only seen an acceleration in their censoring.
I think this is the beginning. I when I noticed the QAnon post today, and I've been following QAnon much more closely. He appears to be an insider who is really telegraphing information coming out of the White House and advance, and he's been very, very accurate. Now, the post today was that there is no coincidence. You know, one of the fundamental rules of politics, nothing's a coincidence, that Eric Schmidt resigns after Trump signs this EO executive order. Now, the executive order is one that's a clampdown on international human rights abuses. And as I read it, one of the things it's targeted at is the international sex trade. I mean, this is really going after the money. What Trump has decided to do is to utilize a variety of federal laws to confiscate the money of human rights abusers worldwide. And this, I think, is a carefully thought out plan. I think Trump does believe that the New World Order and the whole globalists are of Satanists, that they have at their heart the pedophilia. And Trump is really taking steps. I think we're going to see more and more of it over the next few months to go after those engaging in human rights abuses and take their money away, which is really follow the money. It's a very effective
Sure, just like Jerry Epstein and just all these people, this is the satanic glue that holds these people together. And the word I've got from my intelligence sources is that Trump and others worldwide have just green-lighted open season on these people, that they're in full panic mode.
I think that's correct. And I think we're going to see a whole series of indictments and other confiscations of money going on. I think Trump is extremely serious about this. And anyone who doubts Trump's resolve just has to take a look at how carefully he passed this tax bill. He fulfilled his promises. Trump has been fulfilling promises left and right. I see increasing devotion to God and increasing statements about his devotion to God coming from Trump. I think this is a real turnaround, and you know, the globalists should be on the run because I think Trump is coming after them.
And it's not just rhetoric. He's delivering. The New York Times says Trump's planning a coup, which, of course, they're planning the coup, and top Democrat officials are, you know, calling for Trump, Pence, you name it, to be killed. Obama advisor wants Pence, wants McConnell, and wants Ryan killed for the tax cut. The sickening evil left thought they had their foot on the neck of America, but now they are just in full, disgusting, frothing frenzy. When they really had it out for everybody, they are sick.
That's right. And Treasury came out with an analysis of some 13 people on this executive order that they've named, the president of Gambia, a Myanmar general. And the researchers are already finding these people have deep ties to the Clintons and to the Clinton Foundation. And, you know, the Clintons' ties to pedophilia go back to this Laura Silsby, who was arrested in Haiti trying to smuggle 33 children out
and convicted.
Without documentation. And convicted. And
Bill she's Clinton changed her name now and runs a deal for disadvantaged children over and over again, the same M.O. from Sandusky on.
And the Clintons are very deeply tied with these people, with Silsby and her operation in Haiti, as they are with Epstein. I think this is all going to come out. I think really the pedophilia in Hollywood, in New York, and among the arts, and among the, you know, the elite, I think this is going to be the next shoe to fall. And I'm very pleased to see that Trump signed this. The executive order got very little attention. It was a difficult order to read. You had to really study it. You had to go look up
and
the
law. And so
laws.
It's an executive order targeting sex trafficking, women, children, you name it, and other illicit human rights violations, which we know isn't just a funding mechanism of these intergovernmental black ops. The corrupt networks, the black hat networks, it's the compromising system. It's the initiation.
And Trump realizes that he can get billions of dollars reducing the deficit, reducing the, you know, the debt by just simply confiscating the money of these human rights abusers.
And then cut off their ability to engage in future crimes.
Precisely. Precisely. This is the most effective action I've seen any American president take ever. Understanding that.
Well, you know what he did when he got in a year ago? I've talked to all the black ops people. They literally wiped out the Mexican drug cartels and their networks here. Just wiped. They're almost all gone now. And they just wiped them out in the first 8-9 months of this year because it's like Trump's like, no, we're not going to fund radical Islam. Boom. No, and then Russia helped. No, we're not going to let the Mexican drug cartels run around. We're not doing business with them anymore. Wipe them out. And now going after the pedophile rings, wipe them out. It is incredible.
And what I really liked about the way Trump did this is he didn't make a fanfare of it. The big news was, you know, the tax cut, the new, you know, that was the news. This he just signed, very quietly signed, and then you had to watch for
and that tells you it's military because he never talks about something military before it happens. Yeah. So you notice, very quietly done, but that's what I was talking to some of my military sources, people that are involved in this. They said last week we had him on, and this week, Craig's already talking about it. All these rich families are fleeing. They're just running. They're leaving their stuff in their houses and running to the Middle East. And these aren't Muslims. These are rich, prominent liberals are hauling ass.
Well, and I see the intelligence connections in here. I mean, this is the professional way to do it. Very quietly, a very well-written, crafted executive order. There's a whole department within Treasury for confiscating the assets overseas and the United States of these international criminals. And if Trump goes after the money, he's going to make a huge impact. And he doesn't have to say much about it, but the fact that he's doing it this way indicates to me it's serious.
They already know, because it's like evacuating from Saigon or something. You know, they're hanging off the helicopters, kids. All right, Dr. Corsi, all your prolific work at InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. We'll continue to watch it. Thank you, sir.
Corsi lays it out real well that this is getting serious, and Trump is beginning to be a serious problem for the deep state. So they may come back, and this next clip is important from that aspect of the danger that appears that's quickly forming against our president. So we must pay particular attention to that and do everything in our power to help protect President Trump. But get the word out that there is a period of time in here that's extremely dangerous for our president. Alex Jones speaks together with Zach, and Zach is coming in from Morocco. He's had former background of intelligence, and so he's very, very insightful. So he's giving us a warning, especially at the end of this interview, about possible danger between Christmas Eve and the first of the year for President Trump. So this is one clip here to pay special attention to, and I'll make some comments after we play it. Here we go now.
Corey, we're going to go to all of you. Thank you for holding. Thank you for calling in. We're going to get to you. On the future of Trump, all the big promises coming through. How will the globalists strike back? New York Times saying that, you know, the coup's going on. We're going to talk about it all. But Zach in Morocco hasn't given us secret info, but he's been in Army Special Operations and Intelligence. He's actually known. He's been in the news. We know who he is. He's not ready to go public yet, but he gets through on the line. We should just call Zach routinely once a week, get updates, not just make him fight to get on the line. That's my fault. Should have thought of that. Zach, over there in Morocco, what do you make of the latest info? And top Marine general says there's a war coming. That's in the Hill newspaper.
Yes, Alex. It's great to be back on. And I just had to connect some dots here. Everything you've laid out is pretty accurate so far. But I just wanted to connect some dots about the deep state death hurdle that will commence on the eve of Christmas into the new year, because they are going to go for broke. With that being said, we need to start out with some key information. Last time when myself and you were on, we brought up the HRC, Huma Abedin, Barack Hussein connection. That set off some alarm bells, and everybody knows what's gone on there with the researchers. Now I'm going to drop some information that will make the Snowden stuff look like snowflakes compared to the avalanche that I'm about to unleash, because the stuff I'm privy to is very important. And at this point, this is a duty to kind of relay it. So I'm going to go ahead and do that here. You know, when it comes to this Fast and Furious thing, when it comes to this radical Islamic thing, let's look at one individual in particular, which will bring it all down. That individual's name is Anwar Awlaki. Anwar Awlaki. The American, the New Mexico-born, Colorado State-educated, George Washington University-educated, Anwar Awlaki, the influencer of Major Nadal Hassan at Fort Hood, that Anwar Awlaki is a major point in this. This Islamic threat is fabricated. You know, you have the FBI and you have the NSA days after the attack at Fort Hood coming out and saying, wow, he was talking with Anwar Awlaki. So let me get this straight. You have this information 2 to 3 days after this Fort Hood massacre there. How would you have that information 2 to 3 days later?
Well, later came out that the CIA knew he was talking to him for 2 years.
Oh, well, not only talking to him, they've presented Anwar al-Awlaki as a Yemenese cleric who is inciting violence within the United States. No, Anwar al-Awlaki was born in New Mexico. Anwar al-Awlaki was an intellectual. Anwar al-Awlaki was educated at the university in Colorado State and George Washington University. This is critical. Okay, this is very critical because this was all a setup, and they went too far here, and I witnessed it. So this is all going on while Fast and Furious is going on, where they're taking weapons from Fort Bliss in El Paso, moving them across the border into the Kingdom of Morocco, through the Sahara, in Algeria, eventually making their way to Libya, where they will defeat Gaddafi's reign there and create ISIS. So this is deep. These are not.
Well, that's what Tosh Plumlee, the CIA whistleblower, said here. Was his info he broke down accurate from what you know?
Yeah, it was pretty accurate, but I was witness to it. I know exactly what happened there. And it's not a secret. People blew the whistle in Morocco, and the DTS command, the DST commander in Morocco.
So just to boil it down, why was Obama arming the Muslim Brotherhood and arming radical jihadists to destabilize moderate Muslim states?
Right. So destabilizing moderate Muslim states and also creating ISIS to wreak havoc as we see in the world today. So this is not a blind eye. This is black ops. This was CIA. This was funded by the highest powers that be reigning in our country at the time. So this is why this is so critical. I mean, you know, we do have a radical Islamic threat, but we need to realize where the funding comes from and who's really involved. And it's the left and it's the deep state, without question.
Absolutely. That's what the evidence shows. And it appears Trump is trying to actually cut that off and end that and make deals to actually try to stabilize the Middle East again. But that McMaster and others are double-crossing, still trying to go back to the old game right under Trump's nose.
It's absolutely unbelievable. And since the Trump administration has, you know, been in office, since some of the power positions have changed, we've seen incredible changes reach around the world. I'm just saying by firsthand information, when this information actually comes out, and I'm kind of hinting at some things without getting into anything very classified. But, you know, Fast and Furious was ran by our country. Fast and Furious is what created ISIS. There's just no way around it. This just wasn't SAWs. This just wasn't M4s. This was shoulder-fired weapons. This was artillery. This was everything. This was the standing up of ISIS.
Sure, and that was Obama and the EU and the globalists from all our research and our sources. Now you see the info coming out about arming Hezbollah as well. Why is that suddenly coming out in all places, Politico?
Well, that's coming out, and also what's coming out is sort of this UFO leaking and some of this other technology leaking, because what's essentially coming out is some of our deepest, I guess, quote-unquote, secrets of what's going on, because what we're going to see, and you hinted to it earlier as we got on the phone, there will be a strike on North Korea. I've been calling you and talking to you about this for 6 months, the ending of strategic patience. There will be an attack there, and the real issue there is people think about the collateral damage and what will occur there, but it will be sophisticated. We will unleash weapons that we do currently have that have been field tested, but we'll actually be using conventional warfare for the first time. These will be EMP. These will be strategic nuclear weapons. This will be all of it. And I did start the call off by saying on the eve of Christmas, I'm dubbing it the deep state death hurdle. They're red-handed. The information that I just laid out is damning. And this is nothing special. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. Before they said the NSA wasn't spying, comes out their spying. Before they said, no, we didn't arm ISIS. No, you did arm ISIS. Now the House of Cards is following. They are desperate. And
is it not Donald Trump for real? I mean, that's why they're so scared.
Oh, it's for real. This is history in the making. This is as sensational as it can be.
And stay right there. Let's come right back and finish up with Zach and to all your other calls. Stay with us. Third hour. Please spread the links, folks. People thought they were invincible. They thought it would never come out. They thought that they could get away with anything. And they are flipping out. You know, that's my next issue for you, Zach. They're in the New York Times saying Trump is planning a coup when he's already peacefully taken over and got the tax cuts and doing things by the book. They've got high-level Obama advisors and press briefers saying that they want to kill the Republican leadership. They're clearly telegraphing something big. Now we've got two trains traveling at full speed, colliding in Australia, multiple injuries. We'll get to that. But finishing up, you say this death hurdle of what you think they're going to launch in the next few weeks. Please give us your view.
Okay, so that's pretty interesting information that you just kind of predicated our talk with there, because that's what I was going to get into, the information that I got out of Mountain View, California, the suburb outside of Palo Alto, the Google complex right across the freeway from NASA Ames Research, where I've done a lot of work there, and everyone, well, I'm not going to get into that, but so we have Silicon Valley literally being the unelected leaders of our country, or at least they thought. That's the left and the deep state thought. The Schmidt information will come out. I'm interested to see what you guys are going to drop. I have some certain points on that, but the writing's on the wall there. It's going to happen. When Trump was elected, Elon Musk towed the line. He's smart enough and realistic enough to take the side of humanity over AI, and he kind of publicly came out.
And notice he said, look out for those that talk about AI gods right before they launched it. I mean, exactly. Elon Musk.
Yeah, there's a lot more power coming out of Silicon Valley nowadays than there is the Beltway in D.C. And now Trump is kind of, reversing that power and allowing people to innovate and do what they're doing. But this is deep, and this is why.
That's right. The heart of globalism is the AI takeover. The DARPA and the U.S. built it. We're taking it back.
Absolutely. So when you see some sort of inhumane or completely immoral acts coming out, how can they smash planes into buildings on 9/11? How can they kill Americans in Vegas? How can they kill U.S. troops at Fort Hood? Well, they're humans, so who cares? And this is deep, and this is beyond comprehension for some individuals, but we need to understand the clip and technology that's really running in the world today. It's astounding, and we'll know about it in 10 to 15 years, but at the rate technology is growing.
Sure, the globalists are following basically mass global map AI directives of what they think will win. They think they've already merged cold-bloodedly with the technology. They've actually said that. It's their power trip that's going to undo them, and Trump is, notice his speeches are all about humans and people and workers. This is just a desperate movement to not bring in the global exterminism. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, and Schmidt was compromised. I'll let you guys kind of break that or whatever, but I kind of think I know what you guys are going towards there. But
child sex trafficking?
I got to stop. I can't get into that. But I have some very information that I'll be able to release out of Palo Alto, out of the Silicon Valley information that I have here shortly. One thing at a time, I guess. But yeah, you guys. You guys are on the trail. I would say it's somewhere in that capacity.
Well, of course, you just got that from the White House.
Yeah, things are happening quickly, and it's happening real quick. Yesterday was the shortest day of the year. Seems like time is speeding up, and when the new year commences, we will see a strike on North Korea, and this will be an ultimate blow to the deep state.
By the way, Joel Skousen has amazing contacts. He says the attack's on.
Oh, it's definitely on. The orders have been written. The training's in progress. Op orders are already published. It's done.
I want to hear more about that. Then I'm going to promise callers. I'm going to get to you. But I know people want to hear Zach. Zach's proven to be amazingly accurate. Stay with us. During the break, working on some big stories. Of course, he's getting ready to break his report on Infowars.com in the next 5 minutes. It's being posted right now as we speak. We're going to get him on. I need to go to your phone calls, though. I've spent a lot of time with Zach. I apologize, but Zach's got important information. Other points you'd like to add, Zach? Go ahead.
So just to kind of wrap up here, the Schmidt stepping down, let's not lose sight. A lot of people aren't there geographically, but in Mountain View, in Palo Alto, Google Complex, directly across the freeway from NASA Ames Research, the tones that connect, and obviously the transfer of information and individuals working there. It's no coincidence that you see individuals releasing information, which are, really done by Schmidt there, of the Pentagon UFO programs, this sort of video that's been put out that's blurry but shows a Navy pilot there looking at stuff. There were some tactics to kind of see what he could do and what kind of power he had.
Yeah, we ought to show that clip because, we showed it a few days ago. We should show it again, Navy pilot following the UFO. Go ahead.
So a lot of this stuff is leaking. It's kind of like no-nos or these weird things with power things. But no, he had to step down for a reason. They played a couple hands in the weeks before this, but I'll let you guys publish an article there because I know what it is. But Schmidt's compromised. Not only him, a lot of people are compromised there. But just to wrap up, the deep state, predominantly with individuals on the left there, have been using since 98 – really came to a precipice in 2001, radical Islam as muscle to just as a humanity, not even just in America, but in the West as general, to just completely, you know, have chaos come in, and they were going to introduce this sort of AI god to say, look at all the problems, look at the world, look at the state that we're in, so you must go with us, we have to do this. So that's been combated, so let's not look at it as a war against Islam, let's not look at it as a war against drugs, let's look at it as a war between humans and technology. And we're human here, and a lot of these people are compromised morally and even ethically, so they've picked their sides, but now they're being swept up by the Trump administration. But with all that being said, we still have a lot of work to do. In the new year, there will be a strike on North Korea. This has been a long time in the making. As Trump just passed the tax cuts here, this will kind of give them a little buffer with the American people here. And a lot of people have been trying to solve this North Korea problem. And North Korea, Yemen, Iran, they're all kind of connected. North Korea problem in particular, he's to be dealing with. He's been speaking about it, as well as Penn and Mattis, for quite some months.
Well, what do you overnight. Make now? I mean, they're telegraphing North Korea. They better make a deal right now with this top Marine Corps general coming out saying that the attack is going to happen.
I think there's no deal. I can't get into certain things. I don't think there's a deal. I think they get there's going to be a strike. We were willing to play with China. China kind of back cross, took the meeting with Obama. We saw them trying to get Trump out of office. China was kind of playing both sides because, you know, North Korea is a proxy, but it's really not a proxy of China. I mean, it is technically, but it's a proxy of the deep state.
What percentage would you say of the government, because we know the voters put Trump in. Hillary almost stole the election, but we were able to beat it. But there are a lot of people, the patriots in the intelligence agencies and the corporations, now piling on with the tax cuts, with bonuses, trying to boost the economy, trying to get us out of this global meltdown they wanted to bring in, and then bring in the AI as the savior after, as the top tech giants have been saying was the plan. So this coup against the globalists and their AI takeover, at least at this point, because everybody at an instinctual and spiritual level basically being warned. I mean, I don't want to get into the whole things behind the scenes, but a lot of important people have been basically been having events where they're seeing what's going to come, and they're understanding it because this is so big and our species is so powerful that there's always major ripples that the globalists thought they could get through that wouldn't happen. But since you're going that direction and getting into that, our own AI, our own brain has already been able to project forward what was about to happen. But I think people need to understand how dire the straits are right now to turn this all around. And if we're dealing with an AI globalist program, why not deal with it? Why go ahead and take out North Korea? Because the globalists behind the scenes are manipulating North Korea as a set piece towards something larger. We've got to take it out beforehand. The research shows before China and Russia are ready. That's what Skousen keeps saying.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about generationally just complete psychosis there. Like, this is sort of a situation where it'd be nice to put the kid gloves on and kind of, you know, talk them down and show them, you know, the prosperity in South Korea. But obviously that's not the case there because they've been manipulated. Their individuals are poisoned mentally and obviously physically. Look at the parasites and everything else and the individuals coming over the border there. I don't want there to be a strike, but there has to be a strike. They're literally just
or the satanic evil just continues on. Wow. Well, we'll see what happens. We've got your number, right? We've got your email. So next time, email us when you want to come on. You don't have to just fight to call into the show, okay? And you say a big event's coming sometime this month. You're saying the Democrats are going to make their move, try to take Trump out.
This and I opened the call with it. This I'm dubbing it, and we can put it out there. It's the deep state death hurdle. It's gonna commence on the eve of Christmas into the new year, and they're gonna give it all they got to try to manipulate and pull off something big here. I pray for the president's safety. I pray for a lot of individual safety here and around the world. They're gonna go for it because, you know, Trump played it brilliantly, and he was willing to play with China in the beginning. He was willing to deal with them, but they were playing both sides, and now that's gone. We got the tax rate where we need it. Countries are
coming. And boy, are they panicking right now. Their God Schmidt's falling. Thank you, Zach. Stay in contact with Nico and everybody else. So whenever you want to come on, let us know. Thank you, Zach.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I apologize to other callers. I'm going to go to you bam, bam, bam now. Can't have you on for 20 minutes like Zach, but I'm going to go to each person. Eugene.
Zach testifies that was Zach and Alex speaking together. And Zach will call in once every 3 or 4 days with some very, very insightful intelligence and data insights. And so he's really to be taken serious. He's been verified and vetted by Alex Jones. So he's been talking to him for about a year or so. But anyway, we need to be careful in paying attention to what's going on in this country. And this Hezbollah thing has just popped up. We've got Uranium One. We've got the we've got all of the Judicial Watch going after Hillary. We've got H.A. Goodman there reporting consistently on YouTube. And we'll put a click off for him up there, too, that you can listen to. And he's mad about Bernie Sanders being, taken advantage of by Hillary. But this thing is catching fire. Now, we have a couple of clips here by FBI officials. And they both provide insight into how serious this deep state is about going after Trump. So this first one's about 6 minutes, and the second one is about 10 minutes. But I'll come back in after the first one and then set you up for the second one. So listen to this very carefully.
Let's bring in Kevin Brock, former FBI Assistant Director for Intelligence. Welcome. Good to have you with us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
You know, today the president was pretty critical of the FBI. We want to play a little bit of what he said. Obviously, as these revelations surface of people who are having conversations that don't seem especially positive about the president, here's what he said.
It's a shame what's happened with the FBI. The level of anger at what they've been witnessing with respect to the FBI is certainly very sad.
And I want you to know that with me as your president, America's police will have a true friend and loyal champion in the White House, more loyal than anyone else can be. The president of the United States has your back 100%. I will fight for you, and I will never, ever let you down.
When you look at what they did with respect to the Hillary Clinton investigation, it was rigged. And there's never been anything like it in this country that we've ever found before. It's very, very sad. Very, very.
Okay, so he was all over the place there. He had criticism for the agency, but then he today spoke at the graduation and was very kind and very laudatory of those graduates and the people he says are defending this country. So what do you make of the two versions of statements today?
Well, goodness, it's it's kind of interesting. Last year, you had the Democrats claiming that the FBI's reputation is in tatters. This year, it's the Republicans mm-hmm. claiming that. So it kind of depends a little bit on whose ox is being gored at a given time. But even beyond that, we have to be concerned in this country any time there's a perception that the FBI is not being impartial, not being objective, or being biased in some way. Tremendously concerning. Why? Because we depend on the FBI, of all agencies, to conduct itself and conduct its investigations in a fair and impartial way. So anytime there's a perception about that, then that has to be addressed. Unfortunately, as Ed just ran through, there's been a litany of instances or things that have happened that have called that into question. If you'll notice, however, it really doesn't touch upon the hardworking mm-hmm. agents and analysts and support people that the FBI have across this country working hard every day. When you look back through history and when you see the FBI kind of tripping up and running afoul or finding itself in these situations where there's a perception that there may be that the FBI is off the rails a little bit, it's because of decisions that generally occur at the headquarters level. I'm not casting stones. I worked at the headquarters level. I worked in the field. I worked at headquarters. I've seen the FBI from the field perspective, from headquarters perspective. And at headquarters is where the FBI is closest to the vector of political governance. Mm-hmm. And so there has to be care exercised by the director of the FBI and senior leadership that any decisions they make to involve the FBI in a particular investigation, especially when it's charged with political aspects, those decisions have to be made very, very carefully. The actions that they take will be scrutinized in a way that they have to be cognizant that they could have an impact on giving the impression that the FBI is maybe favoring one side or the other. And so when we look back and we see a director of the FBI taking steps to do a unilateral public news conference and taking on responsibilities not normally ascribed to to an FBI director, that should give us pause.
And it does open up criticism, open you up for criticism on a number of fronts. As you said, Republicans and Democrats have both been mad at James Comey at some point.
That's right.
Very mad. Today, the Attorney General addressed some of the criticism of the FBI. Here's what he said.
Well, I don't share the view that the FBI is functioning, is not functioning at a high level all over the country. He spoke to them today, the first time a president in 47 years has spoken to the FBI at Quantico, their graduating police academy class.
So the attorney general there trying to say, you know, broadly, I have confidence in the agency, and I don't agree with the assessment that they're not functioning at the highest levels.
And I'm not sure that's what I heard. I think everybody, and I want to reassure your viewers that the FBI works at a very high level. Mm-hmm. The FBI agents who are distributed across this country are working hard on their cases. And but again, when the FBI is pulled into situations where there are large political considerations, and an investigation of a political candidate for presidency.
Both of them. Yeah,
Hillary
at the
Clinton,
same time.
And then Donald Trump to follow is fraught with peril. And so the FBI has to walk a fine line. It is going to pursue any indications or credible allegations or credible predication for corruption where they find it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they have to be very wary that they're not being manipulated mm-hmm. into leveraging their substantial power into favoring one political side over another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we know that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of these folks working really hard all around the clock. And I think the president's frustration is with a select group that we've heard more about. But I think he also realizes that the men and women out there working, he needed to praise them today, which he did as well. So, Kevin Brock, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That's the first clip. And the second one, his FBI calls from. It's a little bit longer. It's about 10 minutes long. But you need to pay special attention. Let me get this up right now. Thank you for listening.
And this is John Cassavetes. And it's Sunday morning. Lots of stuff happening in Washington. Today, we have James Kallstrom. Career in the FBI, 30 years, including a stint as assistant director in charge of the New York office. Good morning, James Kallstrom. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I am well. There's so many things happening in Washington. Trump has said that the FBI is in chaos. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, it's a very sad thing, sir. Largely in the eyes of the public, it is in chaos. However, 99% of the people in the FBI are doing a fantastic job. And it's this small cabal of people running the FBI, you know, the Comey sycophants. I don't know if that number is 5 or 10 or what it is, but it's a nasty thing to be watching. You know, people in the FBI, getting very political, you know, not basing themselves on the rule of law or protecting the American public. It's really an outrage what's going on. I'm getting more and more to come to the conclusion that this is a conspiratorial cabal among the fifth column, you know, to basically try to take away the presidency of the United States. You know, this whole thing with Russia is just a farce. You know, it's a figment of the imagination of someone that was paid millions of dollars to put together a bunch of fabrication. And if we find out that phony information was brought to the FISA court in the form of an affidavit for a judge's authority. And if we find out that the people signing that affidavit in the Bureau knew that that was phony information, then that is a serious, serious felony. If they thought that was real information, you know, I have to say that they were really, really terribly unsophisticated and bordering on the side of moronic, being moronic.
Wow. I mean, there's also so many stories about they're going after Trump with both fists, and they have done nothing going after any of the Clinton people. it's Podesta or whether it's anybody else that surrounds Hillary.
Well, you know, the whole thing is very disappointing. You know, the Democrats just put a few words out there for to keep this thing going for a special counsel, and this fellow that is a deputy attorney general, heaven knows how Trump managed to put him in there, because almost immediately, against good reason, he wants to appoint a special counsel. And who does he appoint? He appoints a guy, Mueller, who has a close relationship with Comey, and they go way back. And we find out recently that this situation with this uranium thing going on here, you know, he was the U.S. attorney in Baltimore, the deputy attorney general. And Mueller was the FBI director. So, I mean, this whole thing is really strange and really very, very disappointing.
Well, how many of those FBI directors or FBI people that or special people that the Mueller has hired were big contributors to the Democratic Party?
I think the vast majority of them were. I understand from public documents that there was no contributions to the Republicans. And it's the guy that Mueller made his deputy, I forget his name, is it Weisberg or something like that? He has a history of just being out of control. And apparently, you know, when they went to the house of Paul Manafort a few months ago, now, here's Paul Manafort that they're charging with the worst case, some call kind of white-collar crime. And they show up at 4:30 in the morning and basically demand to either open the door or they're going to kick it in, and they're armed. And apparently they drag his wife out of bed and the children. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that goes on in third-world countries. This is not the kind of stuff that the FBI should be involved in. You know, I don't care what Mueller and his people tell those agents. They should never, ever have done that. And I only bring that up because it's symbolic of how out of control this special counsel is.
Agent Kallstrom, how about the removal of the FBI agent Peter Strzok from the Mueller team? Is that another black eye in the FBI?
Well, you know, I don't know what that's about. It doesn't really add up. You know, sure, he obviously is someone who despises Trump. Of course, everybody has their opinions. The issue is when FBI agents use those opinions to bias what their work is. So I really don't know why he was relieved. I think there's really something else there. I don't know what that is. It might be the fact that he was involved in so many things. He was probably also involved in preparing the affidavits for the FISA court. That would not surprise me. But I think it's more than just text messages, but apparently there's reports that there's over 1,000 text messages, which is really, really, I mean, I can't imagine that. I wouldn't do 1,000 text messages my whole life. But, I don't know. I don't know what this guy is all about. He had a good reputation, but he's certainly from what we're seeing, there's something very, very, very strange there. And it looks like, you know, we had a real, real anti-Trump guy involved in every part of this thing, including the interview of General Flynn.
Now, you were there for 30 years. Has this existed previously at the FBI, Democrats, Republicans?
Never. I don't ever recall, honest to God, in my career, I don't ever recall a discussion like that, ever. You know, and I was there for Clinton, you know, and personally, I can tell you, I had a very, very distasteful feeling about Clinton. But, you know, to my knowledge, that never affected anything the FBI did, the work we did. I mean, we reported the facts, and we went after the truth, and we were after the rule of law, and we were there to protect the American public. I mean, that's, you know, there's so many things that Comey did wrong in his tenure, and Mueller also. You know, they looked the other way on the IRS as they were out stamping and tromping all over the civil rights of hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of American citizens. I mean, that is just outrageous. And not only did they look the other way, they actually interviewed a lot of those people, which added to the duress of those poor families. You know, they did nothing on Benghazi. In fact, Bob Mueller, to my knowledge, who conducted the investigation of what went on at Benghazi, held the results of those investigations, which were finished months before the election back in 2012, but held those results till after Obama was reelected. So Mueller's been a political guy in a lot of things, a lot of cases that I could go into that we don't have time to talk about right now.
Yeah, you're right. They looked away from Benghazi. They looked away from the IRS. They did look away from a lot of stuff, which seems like the current FBI is a little bit biased. Now, what is this all about, Mueller going after personal records of the president at Deutsche Bank?
You know, you know, this deputy attorney general, back to him, you know, not only does he do terrible things of appointing a special counsel, which he should have never done. Number two, appointing Mueller, which he should have never done. But he does not describe in his memo what the boundaries are of this investigation. So basically, Mueller has no boundaries. I mean, he could be there for the next 5 years. And, you know, the weaklings in the Republican Congress, you know, the Senate Intelligence Committee, extremely weak in the Senate, a little bit better in the House, but still not doing their job. The Speaker of the House, you know, not weighing in and putting an end to this nonsense, this absolute, unbelievable thrust of a conspiracy against the President of the United States, with absolutely not a scintilla of evidence that's been found in 2 years. I mean, it's a travesty of justice. It's an outrage.
We have a minute left. Anything else you want to tell the American public?
No, I just would reemphasize, I think that, you know, the people in the FBI, I've known them for a long, long time. I hear from tons of them. You know, they're honest, good people that want to do the right thing for the American public. You know, they're ashamed by what's going on by a few people. You know, this deputy director of the FBI, whose wife took $700,000 from the Democrats, and, you know, just all the conflict of interest that he has and Mueller has, that they would continue down this road. And I don't know what's going on at the Justice Department. They're asleep at the switch over there. It looks like this deputy is running the department, which is not good news for the rule of law, in my view.
Well, thank you so much for coming on this Sunday morning. Former Assistant Director James Kallstrom of the FBI, thank you for everything you've done for America and continue to do for America.
God bless. Thank you very much.
This is the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back.
As you notice, we had two former FBI officials both saying how fearful they were about what the safety of our president. And so then we have this Hezbollah thing. We have all these different scandals going on. We could talk for hours on the scandals alone. So it's not easy to try to wade through some of this information. I've given you these clips this evening to give you an idea of what's going on out there. What's going on is not very, very nice. And the deep state is operating, and it has since he took office, President Trump took office, to destroy his presidency. But very evident today, President Trump has still made some very, very good moves. The tax and so forth was his latest success. I do not like his foreign policy moves so far, and I believe that's a little bit of the mixed bag as far as my assessment of his overall administration at this time. So he's not good in that area of foreign policy. Thank you for listening.